And here to my father, let my father sell them. So I stopped selling them to the other stores and let my father sell them all till 1936. And then my wife had stopped. She'd been down to Sandyport long enough. So we moved off. And then I started to sell afternoons. And I had Mrs. McDonald. She didn't have the Rose Acres then. She had the yard place down on Bridge Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had Mattaquat. She run that maybe a couple of years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went over there to that place. The Army had it at the time, or Navy, one of them. And so when they got through, she went back there. And I sent a sailor out to show 55.
You kept that this all these years?
Yes.
Well, tell me, what happened to the lobster grounds down around Monomoy? Did you have to start going farther and farther?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they had bean trawlers, small bean trawlers, that come down there, and they used to drag a flounder that they called a yellowtail. Well, they got a good price for them. And you could load up, really, you could load up for which. Sometimes you'd see 40 or 50. Some of them was big enough so they had two masts, like big boats. Well, that's what I see it. We'd go out there and drag in our small boats, and we'd get 8 or 9 barrels during the day. But then these fellas, they'd load up in the day.
That interferes with your lobster lines, I think.
Well, that was just after the lobster season got over with.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lobsters didn't hang around there. And after the 20th of September, there wasn't many lobsters up in Butler's Hole and around in that country. They work off where the water was deeper and even temperature. Because up there, you know, if it comes ice down that down, that chills way down to the bottom.
How far afield did you finally go?
Well, we come out here at what they call New Ledge. It's just inside the pulpit, the new pulpit type boat. Of course, that was quite a little ways to go from the mill pond, way around out there. But we went. But finally, after the cutthroat broke through in good shape, we come through the cutthroat. And if it was low tide when we got there, why, we'd go up to Fishbier and tuck them over in the car. And could work that way, back and forth that way, but we'd had rather come right here. And, you know, you don't want to keep lobsters out too long in the warm weather, because they get weak.
You have to put those little wooden pegs in the claws?
Well, I put pegs in them, but for this war, come on, I could get rubber bands. And those bands, they come by the pound. You take them on your thumb and finger and slide them right over the claws. It didn't hurt the lobster, and they were so much easier to put on.
You had to be pretty quick to do that, didn't you?
You had to have your eye on the job. Because he had one other claw there that was still working, see?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got bit enough. I had two fingers split right open, laid right open. But stick them right in a pail of salt water. So, you're right out there fishing in that salt water, you know. That is awful good for anything like that. I don't know about everybody, but for me, it was all right. Well, he sliced it off. Big as a fly sent piece right off the side of that stump.
Oh, dear.
And it hung down there like that. And I soaked it in salt water until it stopped. And I left that back and put a rubber shawl over it.
Well, now, Mr. Hunter, you're a man who was born in Chatham and lived here all of your life.
Yeah, all his life.
Careful, don't bust in like that, because that won't get on. See.
Well, you've lived here the greater share of your life, let's say. What would you say was probably the most exciting thing that ever happened to you, aside from getting married, of course?
We've been married 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah,
you've been married more than that. You've been married. You're an old woman, remember? The only thing I guess it was most exciting is when that submarine fired that shell and she missed the barge and it went over into a little bay just above Pleasant Bay. And all them students down there at that Quonset, Camp Quonset, and that slug landed right in the water there with them.
Mm.
Well, that was stirring things up and trying to have some, you know.
Well, I say so.
But, of course, we heard the report of the gun to Monty Moy.
Did you really?
Yes, and we was out after Turbot, and we'd gotten off to make a shipment, and so we started for town, and when we got to town, they told us what had happened, and everybody was all up in arms then. But not so much after that would they think anything about a sub. Of course, they used to say, "Do you see any oil slicks coming up from the bottom?" When we were going out there, there weren't no subs in there, not where we were fishing.
During the war, did you keep up the fishing during the war?
Just the same, but these fellows on this side, they stopped them one time from going out. But Mr. Kidder, I think, was the head of it at that time down here. And he says, "Well, you fellas that's going down Chatham Bay, you can go." Because he says, "You probably won't see any subs or no subs will see you." So we went right along down here. But then fellas over on the North Shore, out of the old harbor, they couldn't go because they had to go right out into the ocean. But we went out into the ocean too.
Do you think Chatham has changed a lot since you were a boy?
Yes, so. And I should say it has changed. You know, when you were down, when you walked down the main street, the roads was hardened with clay. And when the one horse and team went down, there was a cloud of clay went round with it. Anybody that lived on the north side of the road, why, they got the benefit. Oh, that was terrible.
You remember when the first cars came here?
I don't remember real well.
Yeah. No, Al went to Boston with Johnny Ryder and he bought that great big car. Oh, Buster. Something up there. And drove it down. Johnny Ryder didn't have a license, and my brother did. And then John used to take parties out and camped high in it, New Bedford and Plymouth around like that. But finally them old cars had that day in the city, see, when they go down in these country roads.
Hmm.
They weren't used to them, and they didn't act so good. So I don't know how many times I've seen them haul a tire off and patch a tube between here and New Bedford, You could almost walk there in the time it took to get there.
How long would it take you to come up from Manamoy by boat?
Oh, we could come. We could come 40 minutes. Just about 40 minutes.
And you'd come into Stage Harbor?
Yeah, come into Stage Harbor, and I had a mooring right down here at the end of this road. It wasn't very far to walk, but that hill, I've seen so many by the time they got to the top of that hill. Stop. I don't know whether it was all out of wind or not.
Well, if you had your life to live over again, would you do the same thing?
Just saying. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Of course, you say now, what? You'd know more.
Yes, I think that happens.
But I don't know if it'd do you any good if you did know more. You might not be so well off as you are.
Well, now, your brother never married.
No.
And he's lived with you for a good many years.
He's lived with me since 1908.
And he's perfectly happy to live here in Chatham.
Oh, yeah. See, he wanted to come. He wanted to come home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you, he lived with my sister quite a while. They lived up in Wakefield. And, he didn't know too many there, because he worked for my sister, so he didn't get a chance to go out to meet other people, so he just go down to one of the livery stables and meet the fellas around there. But down here, he meets them all around, see. Because he can go down here to Fish Pier, and he can go to the fire station, and he can go over to Manson's garage, and then he can go down to Alton Kenneth's. And by the time that he's got back, he's picked up some.
He's got all the local news, I tell you. Are you all through with that?
I've been down to this pond twice in 2 years. Now the quahogs. I don't think I've dug a quahog. I haven't dug a clam, but I have been up and got 4 or 5 meters of scallops. But my nephew will come around and he says, how's the oysters? Well, sir, we are just out. Well, the next day he comes down with a great big bucket full of oysters. And he says, it's kind of cold for you to go scalloping. So he fetched me down a great big bucket full of scallops.
Well, I can't think of a nicer life. Here you are in sight of the mill pond, where you've had so many happy experiences, and a comfortable house to live in, and pleasant company. I think you've had a wonderful life.
Well, you see, Hunter and his wife, they come down. They're down here about every night, every other night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty good. He's a pretty good feller, I'll tell you. Yes, he is. My nephew.
Takes the place of the son.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's good. And Arlene is nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
They are in the old junk business.
Well, I'm very fond of both Hunter and his wife. I see them frequently, and they are just as busy and active as you are.
Oh, they are terrible.
Well, this has been a very interesting talk, and I think it's taken us back over a good many years in Chatham. And this record, we're delighted to have for the Chatham Historical Society. Thank you very much, sir.
January 26, 1959, Monday evening, 7:30 p.m., at the home of Mrs. Mary F. Wheeler. Meeting tonight for the records of the Chatham Historical Society on the methods of fishing. At this time, we were pleased to hear from an old friend, Mr. Willard H. Nixon, fisherman.